on the road or off-road, Chevy Silverado is built for tough performance in any condition. Hit the road in a new Silverado pickup. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for a dealer near you. Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
It sounds a little bit. I get the vibe.
Yeah.
Oh, I know this voice.
Do you know who this is? Jess? She doesn't. It's a mysterious singer that popped into the studio to perform this and then ran away.
Jerry Lee Lewis, maybe?
I don't know. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
But it's a tribute to you, and I know every time that's played, you get a royalty, and that's what's important. Hey, Mr. Schwanee, you would think, and I probably missed it in your newscast. I no doubt missed it in your newscast. I've been on a couple of Wisconsin radio stations talking about this, and I don't believe Donald Trump yet has brought this up, but maybe I'm wrong.
Everybody's focusing on Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, or Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or any of the others. None of this. John Kasich hasn't talked about this. Cruz has not talked about this. The dog flu is in Wisconsin.
Is it?
Yeah, it really is. And you'd think that those guys would say something about it. And the other thing that's going on is cats are getting the dog flu, kind of.
So cats aren't immune to the dog flu. They can get it, you know, in some sort of a variety of the disease.
Well, I will explain in around 15 minutes or so. And
okay.
Then we'll all maybe better understand, because some of the media reports actually are not correct about it. So we will talk about that in just
okay.
a little bit.
All right.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
So in a couple minutes, I will talk about that dog flu. By the way, I am hearing something in my head. Are you hearing? Oh, I bet that's the phone. I bet Sarah Feigenholz, are you on the phone?
I am.
You have the noisiest phone line ever.
Oh, let me see if I can remedy that.
As she remedies this, we'll talk about the dog flu, and that's better, going to cats and whether that's a possibility in a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the pet overpopulation bill. We will talk to you, should you decide. Our phone number, 312-981-7200. You can text us at that same number, 312-981-7200. So before we talk about this legislation, Representative, and good morning, by the way.
How are you? Good morning, Steve.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. In the news, the teachers were downtown picketing, and
they brought their pets.
Some did, actually. So I saw a Newfoundland dog. I saw a lab mix, it looked like. I did see a couple of pets. And I happened to be walking with my wife out of a doctor's office, and I wanted to get a picture, so I walked up closer, and I heard what they were actually chanting. And at least this group, not everyone there, but this group at that time, they were chanting a word that I knew, but I was refreshed. My memory was as to what that word is. Emmanuel. Then fill in the blank. And I heard that word again. Rauner. Now, you know, these are teachers. They're supposed to be. So I posted that on Facebook. And people responded, incidentally, that others heard the same thing in different parts of the city where the teachers were picketing. But in addition to that, someone wrote, you know, we work at a doctor's office. This impacted our business. Several people said this impacted our business. But moreover, sick people, really sick people apparently, could not get to us. And, you know, that makes me think that, again, politics aside, they really were selfish, in my opinion. I don't know what you think. I'm curious.
Well, I'm not sure what you want me to respond to, Steve. Do you want me to respond
well,
to...
Well, anyway, no, anyway, I just think...
It sounds to me like you ran into, in my experience up in the neighborhood in Lakeview was a little different. I was not downtown to experience what you experienced, so I can just believe you and say it doesn't sound like some of the people out there were on their best behavior.
Correct. And above and beyond that, I think impacting the lives of innocent people and maybe for all, I mean, impacting at least at this one doctor's office, sick people who couldn't make it in is just simply wrong.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I totally agree with you.
And where else we agree is about the world of cats. And you are
and
a
dogs.
Huge.
And I
dogs,
like dogs,
too. I know it. You're a huge proponent of doing what's right to help protect our companion animals. And this has been called, I think, the pet overpopulation bill. The fancy way to say it, it's House Bill 4671. What is this all about?
Well, actually, you know, this is not a big sweeping bill. I mean, I'm not sure if you're reading the original version.
I have it. Yeah, yeah, it's an adjustment. Is that the best way to say it?
We have amendments. And, you know, right now, as you know, we passed over 15 years ago a pet-friendly license plate bill.
Mm-hmm.
And the residual dollars, once that license vanity plate paid for itself, went into a special fund for spay and neuter. And this is really just a tweak to that. As you know, Cook County is in a unique position. They already use some of these funds for other things and for TNR, not just spay and neuter.
And TNR would be trap, neuter, return of a community or feral cats.
Correct. Oh, you're so good. and so this really is a permissive piece of language that would return the money to the state so that the other counties in the state of Illinois, if they chose, could do this as well.
Now, this seems to be a no-brainer to me, but I've heard through my grapevine that there are some opponents to this.
Yeah, you know, this is a learning experience for me. Every bill you file, you learn why people support it, why people oppose it. And actually, there's a lot of people out there. You're familiar with PETA, aren't you?
Yes.
So they have a very interesting approach to a lot of things. And apparently PETA feels that this is bad for cats, that it's better, you know, to not put them back, quote unquote, in the wild, that they're better off having alternative methods of, you know, I think almost some of them almost think euthanasia might be better, which I totally disagree with. I'm sure you do, too.
You know, I can't explain PETA's position because it makes no sense to me. Here's what we do know. Feral or community cats have been around for literally thousands of years. I mean, this is not a new thing. Well before there was a United States of America in Europe, there were, for a long time, decades and decades and decades, feral and community cats. Some came over literally on the Mayflower and populated this side of the world, just as they had the other side of the world. This is not a new thing. People have tried for decades and decades and decades, literally, again, thousands of years, to rid the population of them. And back in the day, by the way, when they did that, even a little bit, they've never been able to effectively do it. But when they did it just a little bit, what happened is the rats just exploded in numbers. And then we had the plague way back, I think, a few years before your time and my time. But nevertheless, that's part of how that happened, with those fleas on the rats carrying the plague. You know, they've tried to poison these cats, and communities still do. That doesn't work. You get some of them. I'm not sure how humane that is. I'm concerned about the poison getting into the water table, ultimately. Dogs or kids getting into the poison, poisoning animals you just don't want to poison. But above and beyond that, it doesn't do the trick. It's been tried over and over and over again. They've tried to actually, in some places, shoot the cats. So again, you get some of them, and cats are induced ovulators, which is the fancy way of saying they reproduce just like rabbits do, quite literally. So they repopulate themselves and, in fact, not only fill the void, it's called the vacuum, actually. It's called the vacuum effect. There's a name for this, but they populated numbers that were greater than the numbers that were originally there. So it seems the only thing that does work so far, if someone comes up with something better, that's great, is what you describe as trapped, neutered, return. The animals are trapped. They're spayed or neutered, so they cannot reproduce anymore. They're vaccinated for rabies, which is a great thing for public health. And then they're returned back out, and hopefully caretakers are overseeing them so they don't starve to death. They supplement the cats with food, and they live out their lives. Makes perfect sense to me, and I believe it does to you, too.
Well, it does, especially after that historical explanation from the Mayflower. You know, I work with, you meet the greatest people when you work on humane legislation. And, of course, you know from best friends, Leedy Van Kavitch.
Oh, she's wonderful, yes.
The best, right? So she didn't give me the exact same explanation, but she did go into a lot of detail about how, you know, one of the things is, yes, we're concerned about other creatures in the animal world. Birds especially.
Yeah.
And the fact is that there are probably more birds smashing into my window than there are, which is really so sad. But we have to figure that one out, too.
Well, and what you're referring to is that some of the bird organizations say that the problem with TNR is we put the cats back out there and then they kill birds. Well,
they're doing it now, and we're trying to stem that population. You just shared that this is really the only way that we can diminish the number of cats by neutering them and returning them to their colonies.
And when you talk to environmentalists that are totally out of the political part birds versus cats, which I think ought not be. It shouldn't be birds versus cats. And I would argue the bird organizations use these sorts of arguments for fundraising. But the truth is that what you suggest is true, that it's environmental factors. It is habitat destruction first. It is perhaps even climate change that has affected birds. We don't know that. And certainly pollution, light pollution and air pollution. And yes, birds flying into buildings. All of that is far more impactful than cats. And in some places in America, cats just don't even care about birds. They eat what they can get, and studies have shown that. So in some places, lizards are actually number one on their list. And I don't want lizards to die either,
you know? You better not say that, because the lizard lobby will come after us.
Well, you're right. And, you know, I don't want lizards to die, but the way to reduce the cat population are these managed colonies. I'm not surprised PETA says this, and if I can help in any way, you know I'm there for you. If people listening to this that want to see the money go towards where you describe to benefit animals, is there anything that John Q. Public can do?
Yes, it would be great if they could all call or write or email their state representatives and state senators and tell them that they support this bill, House Bill 4671, and they should all become co-sponsors.
Excellent. Sarah Feigenholtz, you are a friend to all, particularly those with four legs.
Yes.
And,
of which I have feathers. Many.
Yes, I know it. I know. Thank you very much for getting up early with us. I know you got up early to talk to Rick Pearson last week, so this is a double dose of WGN for you. So I hope you're okay.
Oh, no, I love it, Steve. And thanks so much for doing the show. I know your listeners love you. I love you, and I am delighted that I am your state representative.
She is my state, where I live. She is quite literally my state representative, who calls me on my birthday. I don't know how she even knows.
That's a secret.
Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That lady is terrific, because she stands up. And by the way, it's not always easy to do in the House of Representatives, but she does stand up for animals. The dog flu. Can cats really get the dog flu? Some of these media reports that I've seen so far are actually not quite right. I'll explain in a little bit. It's 10 minutes before 7 on WGN. In reference to the conversation we just had, a couple of texters. One says, PETA doesn't like the idea of wild cats eating baby birds, bunnies alive. Well, I don't either, you know, but they're out there. And what do? You do something that seems to work, and you do something that's humane. You do something the community at large wants, it seems to me, which makes trap, neuter, return, for me, in my opinion, the best answer. Another texter says, Tweety Bird would disagree with me. Still another says, Sarah Feigenholtz rocks. I agree with that one. So go to my blog, Chicago Now. No. What is my blog? SteveDale.tv. He doesn't know his own URL. SteveDale.tv. Go there and you can read the detailed story about cats getting the dog flu. Well, when Dr. Sandra Newberry, who's a researcher at the University of Wisconsin, first emailed me about it, I thought, okay, I know her. I don't know her that well, but I know, is this an April Fool's joke? Because she sent it to me on April 1st. Well, it's no joke. We've known all along that cats could potentially get this strain of dog flu, the one that occurred, really was discovered about a year ago and first announced by me on this radio station, actually. And it's H3N2, and somehow that flu strain came here from South Korea. And scientists, once they figured out this was H3N2 that was affecting our dogs in the Chicago area, knew that H3N2, according to veterinarians in South Korea, they said, well, some cats could get this, but that hasn't happened until now. So what has happened is in Chicago alone, thousands of dogs were sickened and continue, incidentally, to get sick. The dog flu has not gone away. But all over the country, thousands of dogs have been sickened in states all over. I mean, this is not a Chicago dog flu by any means. It's happening all over. So think about that, then think of this, that statistically about 25 or so percent of the people that have a dog in their house have at least one cat, oftentimes more than one cat. Statistically, people have 2.1 cats, to be exact. So that's how many cats, thousands and thousands, that have been directly exposed to the dog flu. What's more, some shelters, especially before it was known that there was a strain of dog flu the cats could get, before that was known, would house sick dogs with the flu with the cats because they were desperate for space. And they figured, okay, if the cats and dogs are getting along great, this is a way to use our space better because you don't want sick dogs near other dogs that aren't yet sick. Well, none of those cats, with one exception, there was one cat, I think, in New Jersey that was identified with the flu. But of the thousands and thousands of cats, well, turns out there's an animal shelter right here in Northwest Indiana that experienced cats getting the dog flu, Humane Society of the Calumet area. Now, am I concerned about it? And more importantly, is Dr. Newberry, who studies this stuff, concerned about it? Well, not quite yet. I don't believe. So it's contained is the good news. I mean, none of the cats that have the flu will be adopted out. So it's not going to spread into the community. The dogs there with the flu, that's contained too. And they've stopped adoptions anyway because so many dogs there got sick. In fact, one actually died. So I credit this animal shelter hugely for controlling things the best you possibly can under these circumstances. Will it happen again? And how did it happen? No one knows. But is there – and should we be paying attention to this? Yes. Is there concern the cats all over America are going to get the dog flu? I don't think so. Despite what you've read or heard elsewhere, your cat at home is probably safe. And the best way, if you have a dog, to keep your cat, and for that matter, your dog safe, is one word, vaccinate. People have texted, where can I learn more about the dog flu and cats? SteveDale.tv. That's my blog.